Do something a little different today. I had a sermon and all and stuff, but there's plenty of other Sundays for that, right? I was counseling with someone a few weeks back, and we were wrestling back and forth about what to do next in this person's life, and I was kind of sure they were getting it, but I wasn't positive. And then lightning struck about 10 feet from my office, and it blew that screen out. And, well, he hadn't been back for counseling, and I was like, I thought I'd share that with you in hopes that our counseling load diminishes some. But I don't know what the connection is there. I've had this verse on my heart for a few weeks now, and I wanted to talk about it. It's Isaiah 10 and 27. Sometimes you have the best laid plans, and then they kind of get messed up. So talk about this verse a little bit, because I think it applies. I think we're in three categories on this verse. I think some of us are totally ignorant as to what this verse really is about. Others of us have an idea, and then others of us have an idea, and we're putting it into practice. There you go, three different scenarios. No idea, some idea, no practice. Some idea, practice, really good idea, and practice. I want to get to the practicality of the verse here as quick as I can. Last week I mentioned a little bit about it, but it's really been on my mind. So I offer this to you, and you do with it what you will. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Isaiah, that this burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and this yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What meaneth this? I don't know. Maybe you sat in some function, some dinner, some luncheon we've had, and I've walked up behind you and I started rubbing your shoulders. How many people have I done that to here? A few. Yeah. And I usually say something along the line of, wow, you're tight. You know, you can tell, like, some people's shoulders, they feel like telephone wire cables in there, you know. Others are loosey-goosey. You ever heard the expression, pain in the neck? I'm sure you have. Maybe you've been one. I don't know. Maybe you have one. But it's this shoulder area and this neck area that it wears on us, and it shows stress, right? And it's sort of a giveaway as to what we're going through. Stress is inevitable, and sometimes stress is good. Tension can be good. But, you know, sometimes people, they're weighed down. You can tell just by their posture, there's heaviness on them, and they wear it physically. Let's call that a yoke, shall we? Let's say that we have this yoke on us. You can't see it, but it's there. There's a heaviness, a weight, sometimes an oppressiveness, or just something's not right, right? Well, this yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Let me take you back to Bible days. When a shepherd had a bunch of sheep, they'd be out in the desert there, and they're charged with taking care of the sheep, especially those around Jerusalem. If you wanted to bring sheep into Jerusalem to be sacrificed at the Passover, you had a responsibility. You were going to bring, you know, some bad sheep. You wanted ones without tumors, without blemishes, without spots. You wanted something acceptable as a sacrifice, this pleasing, acceptable sacrifice. So you're all the time inspecting your sheep, taking care of your sheep, providing medicinal things for your sheep, keeping your sheep out of harm's way, making sure they eat right, they drink right. I mean, it's a big deal. Well, sometimes along the shoulder area of the sheep, these bugs, parasites, ticks would get involved in underneath the wool of the sheep. And sometimes they would burrow underneath the skin. Oftentimes they would make their way from the shoulders up to the head and get in the ears of the sheep. Is that not nasty? And burrow into the sheep's ears, and eventually sometimes would kill the animal trying to get to the brain. So much fun. Well, what was the answer to that dilemma? Because that is not going to that's not going to work. Well, they would take animal fat or oil, and they would douse the sheep's shoulders and head in oil so that these parasites would try to climb on the animal and slip off. It would be a deterrent to this burrowing effect under the skin. This animal, this oil, representing in a spiritual sense the Holy Spirit, was a deterrent to these kind of things taking place. And that yoke would be broken, would be destroyed. Okay? Interesting. Like a bunch of slippery sheep. But nonetheless, alive and well and thriving. Well, we go through this thing we call our Christian life, and you've been at different places, different circles, different teaching arenas, different emphasis of teaching, different denominations, and all of this kind of thing. I get that. And you've probably heard the word anointing time and time again. Some of you have heard it, talked around it, about it. You know, some people think it's weird, some don't. I don't know. But at the end of the day, I got a few questions for you. Do you, from time to time, have a yoke? Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, that yoke should be easy and the burden light. But there are yokes. Well, let me ask you a different way. Do you have people who get under your skin? Do you have people that get inside your head? Do you have people who stay inside your head? Do you have bitterness and unforgiveness? That's a yoke. They're a nuisance. He says, Isaiah says, that anointing will break that yoke. What are we talking about here? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is an essential part of a spiritual diet. It should be the focal point of our prayer life. It should not be a byword that we consider every now and again based on some liturgical calendar. The Holy Spirit should be a daily, the anointing of the Holy Spirit should be a daily prayer request. It should be something that we're beckoning God for a deeper understanding and a deeper experience. Okay, so what does this anointing do? Well, this anointing empowers you to do what God calls you to do in such a manner that you would not be able to do it in your own experience, in your own wisdom, in your own strength. It amps you up to a level that God wants to use you in a specific way. It could be a lot of different ways. Well, let's stay in your world. Let's say you're a husband. If I've ever officiated a wedding, your wedding, you know that I lay hands on you and pray that the mantle of a husband would come upon you. What is that? The ministry of being a husband, which is the toughest ministry there is. It's the highest bar God asks you to actually attain to. It is impossible in and of yourself. Good luck with that. You're going to love your wife. I know you got a wonderful wife and everything, but listen to this. You're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gee, is there a higher standard of love than that? Yeah, give me a break. I cannot do that. It doesn't mean my wife's not worthy of that love. It means that in and of myself, and I know myself pretty well, that really isn't going to happen effectively apart from God's empowerment, God's leading, God's counsel, God's compassion, sensitivity, patience. I need to be anointed to be the husband he's called me to be. I probably get under my wife's skin as you do yours. I probably get inside her head. I need that yoke broken. By what? Isaiah says the anointing. See what I'm saying? How many, man, I wouldn't want to have Proverbs 31 and look at that and say, well, there you is. This is what a woman of God is. No, thank you. How do you do that? Well, you do it with the help of the Spirit of God or you burn out. I'll tell you, that's the truth. The anointing is the empowerment to do what God has called you to do. Why wouldn't we ask for that? We have to also be careful, too, because you can relegate that to certain areas of your life. I have this problem going on in my own life. If the anointing, it's a spiritual word, isn't it? It's a Christian word, isn't it? It's a ministry word, isn't it? So let's accentuate the anointing in a ministry circle, but not as a husband. See, that's a problem. It's nothing wrong with it. It's just not complete. Let's say that you're a parent. Yeesh, parent. How many have gotten parenthood figured out? We have different styles of parenthood. Different generations parent different ways. Have you noticed? Don't tell me you haven't argued about that. Don't tell me you haven't scratched your head about that. Millennials parent in a totally different way, well, than anyone. But style and approach, these are all personal issues. But the question is, are we anointed as parents? Are we empowered as parents to do what God has called us to do? What does that mean? To know what to say, what not to say, when to say it, when not to say it. Anointing, it breaks the yoke. What's the yoke? Yoke is the thing that leads to trouble, with a capital T, that if left unchecked. If you're in a ministry that's not anointed, you have probably divisiveness, probably legalism on some level, and probably burnout. You know, I've been reading the Bible since I was born again in 1987. We've been ministering and opening up the Bible and teaching out of it for a quarter of a century. And you know, I cannot think of one instance, not one solitary instance, when I opened up that book to teach or to preach where I said to myself, oh boy, do I have to do this? Not one. That's weird. Not one. Not once has it been boring to me. Not once has it not been alluring to me. Not once has it stirred up curiosity to me. Not once has it gotten old. Some of you have heard passages and sermons and read devotions on the same passage of Scripture probably 70 times over a period of however many years. Has it ever gotten old? Doesn't it meet you every time right where you are? The Scripture never changes, but your scenario does, your context does, your emotional state does, your learning, your academic level of understanding, your cognitive development, your age, your problems in life. And there it is, living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword every single time. Why? Because it's anointed. If I want to encourage you to do anything today, it's to invite into your spiritual diet this idea that, Lord, I need you to anoint me today to be who you've called me to be. Would you rather be you as a husband or you as an anointed husband? Don't answer that. When Jesus started his ministry, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist baptized him, and the Spirit of God lighted upon him like a dove. What is that? It's an empowerment upon him. And what did he do after that? He started his public ministry. Are you kidding me? If Jesus did two things, can you believe this? Jesus prayed. Don't you think we need to? And Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was anointed. Wow. Seemed pretty important. Why do you have to go through that? Just go through the motions? Apparently not. It was a big deal. His father even said so. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. What's a yoke that'll destroy that anointing? Divisiveness. If you're divisive against another, how good and pleasant it is, Psalm 133, when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured down over the head, over the beard, onto the body. The anointing of the Spirit of God comes over through the head and the authority of Christ, onto the beard, the righteousness of Christ, onto the body of Christ. Show me a denomination that's in factions, and I'll show you the absence of anointing. Show me a church that's bickering back and forth and complaining constantly. I'll show you the absence of an anointing. I'll show you people operating in their own strength, their own preferences, their own opinions, their own desires, their own preferences, their own demands, their own non-negotiables. I'll show you the absence of an anointing. The anointing on a ministry is a place of unity and mutual respect and conflict resolution. It's not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of resolution to that conflict. And it's not for everybody. If someone's going to compromise the unity of the church, they're going to compromise the anointing. It's best that they leave. It's best that they don't go somewhere else either and do the same thing over and over until they get their act together. Basically, that's the Bible, the anointing. So are you asking God for that anointing on you as a husband or as a wife or as a parent or as a friend or as a consultant or as a whatever, as a one who visits those in the nursing home? You're called to serve, but serve under the anointing of God, the empowerment of God. Jesus is called the anointed one. Capital A, that's a big deal. In Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah 61, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the sovereign God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." He knew that preaching and the anointing had to go together. Oh, and he really irritated the people around him that he grew up with when he said, "This is fulfilled in your hearing today." The kid that skateboarded down the street the whole time and sat outside the barbershop and talked, all of a sudden they wanted to throw him off a cliff. That was a game changer for him, actually. They looked for a cliff to throw him off of. The anointing. What are you walking around with? What's heavy on you? What's gotten in your head? And who, despite your every effort, has gotten under your skin and seems to just remain there and irritate you your whole life, even if they died 20 years ago? The anointing breaks the yoke. God, anoint me for business, for wisdom in business. There's a great fear in the land today for evangelism, that people won't like what I have to say, or I'll offend them, or I'm ashamed, or I don't know if I can do it. All of those things that we say, not verbally, we don't say that verbally so as to downgrade ourselves. We say it with our omission. We say it with our omission. What we're really saying is, I think I understand, but I'm not sure I'm going to practice, nor can I count on being anointed when I do what I don't want to do. If you don't want to be an evangelist, you don't want to be an evangelist because you're not taking into consideration the fun part of it, which is what? The anointing. Man, I don't want to be, nor do I want you to be, a person responsible for leading another person to Christ and receiving eternal life and rest that whole process on your own ability, self-control, discipline, and practice. Please don't do that. Oh God, anoint me. Pour your oil over my head that when I speak your words. When I see people, I see them as you see them. And when I listen as you are attentive. And I show the affection that you show and that I show the care that you show. And there's an empowerment of the anointing on my life and on our church. That's a different ballgame altogether. I talked a little bit about this at 9 o'clock down the mountain. And I looked into people's eyes and I thought, oh my goodness gracious. I don't think that man's ever heard this before. I don't think his wife has ever heard this before. And I thought to myself, the realization that it could be just that, that they've lived for 70 years and never asked God to anoint them. Hello, we need to do this. We need the empowerment of God in a world that is not anointed and in factions and stressed out. We need this, big time. Jesus is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. The word Messiah is to take oil and rub into until you almost become one with it. Notice his anointing on his life. Do people get under his skin and stay there? No, he overlooked an offense. Did he have people offend him, betray him, abuse him, torture him? Yeah, what did he do? The anointing kept that yoke from being bound over him, and he asked for their forgiveness, for they know not what they do. What does an anointing on Jesus look like? Well, the quintessential get up in your face. He loved his enemies. Why? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wow. How could this be overlooked? If I were you, and if I were me, and I am, I'd take this reminder to heart. Listen to yourself. Play a highlight or a low light reel in your head, a video of you in the last 30 days. What you've said, who you offended, how you were offended, how you argued, how you sinned in your anger, not just your anger. And ask yourself, could it be that it would benefit me to ask for God's anointing in these roles that he has me and has called me to? Could it be that I would have said something different in a different way, or I wouldn't have said anything at all, or I would have been slow to anger, or I wouldn't have offended, or I would have overlooked an offense? Because at the end of the day, you ask yourself this question: I lived another day, but did I live it? Did I live it under the authority and the influence, the input, and the investment of the Spirit of God? Remember, just a couple weeks ago, we're not looking for peace and quiet. We're looking for the Prince of Peace in peace and quiet. Peace and quiet is the absence of distraction, but not necessarily the presence of the Lord. We've been teed up over this place where we live. It's beautiful, and it's a place of reflection and rest and all of that. People come from everywhere to rest and reflect and look at mountainsides and vistas. That's not the question. That's fleeting. The results of that is fleeting, temporary at best. But in those points of reflection and in that stillness, be still and know that he is God. Are you encountering him? That's the question. As he anointed your devotional time? That's the question. There's a fine line between maybe living a certain way for the cause of Christ and living a certain way under the influence of the Spirit of God, anointing. And it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and this yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah says, each to his own way. And guess who's the good shepherd? And what's his responsibility? To tend and keep the sheep, you, me, us collectively together. And what's his responsibility as the good shepherd? To feed, to move, to care for, and to provide healing to you, to be an acceptable, fragrant sacrifice before him. And what does he see on us? Stress, thoughts, worries, anxiety, divisiveness, complaining, lack of gratitude. And what does he see those things doing? Burrowing down beneath our skin and trying to get deep inside our head. For what reason? To change the way we think about who? About him, about others, about ourselves. But in the middle of all of that, he says, you need to have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? The anointing that breaks the yoke. Do we internalize that stuff that comes to us and embrace it and allow it to become a part of us, or do we rise above it and become slippery Christians under the anointing of the Spirit of God? Show me a Pentecostal church that talks about the anointing all the time and doesn't share the gospel, and I'll show you a farce. Show me a church that shares the gospel constantly but not under the anointing, and I'll show you an incredible opportunity. Show me a church of eclectic people from all different backgrounds who begin to slowly, if not quickly, surrender to the possibility of an empowerment by a God who will call them to be the husband, the wife, the parent, the friend, the son, the daughter, the minister, the priest, the royal priesthood, under the anointing of the Spirit, and make that and let them delight themselves in the Lord daily, and make it the desire of that congregation's heart that they be anointed to sell a product, to be a business person, to care for the sick, to visit the lonely. And I'll show you a man or woman who's living a full life, an adventurous life, an active life, a life of mystery and adventure and curiosity that never gets old. Never gets old. It's always fresh, always new. It's not predictable. See, to live a life apart from the anointing of the Spirit is like pulling out a piece of bread that's stale and a mold on the corner. You don't dare throw it in the toaster, you throw it aside. That's not the life we're called to live. We're called to live a life in keeping with, in step with, at the right pace and cadence of an intimacy with a God who speaks to us not only in an earthquake in the fire, but better yet, in a whisper. What kind of church is this? I haven't a clue. Biblical, maybe? And what's the Bible say? Bible says a man or a woman that lives without a yoke on their shoulder, who lives in freedom and liberty, and is effective in ministry and life and love and family, has upon them an anointing. Their mind is free to think. They can move about clearly with a clear conscience because of the anointing. Well, I guess that's enough about that. Maybe. I'm going to close our service. First time that we've ever been done early, possibly, could be. I want you to be still for a moment. Close your eyes and think. Listen to what I'm saying, please. Would you let me shepherd you for a moment? Are there not times, perhaps all too often, when we're operating more in the flesh than the spirit? Are there not times, maybe all too often, when we're living under obligation and duty, compulsion, rather than being compelled by the love of Christ? Are we quick to be offended? Are people too quick to get beneath our skin and stay there? Could we not a bit more often be a bit more encouraging and restorative? Overlook an offense and use it as an opportunity to love and to care. Are you living your life based on what it is you do and you don't do? I have a word of encouragement for you. When Adam sinned, God only had one question for him at first. Adam, where are you? Not what have you done, where are you? The question for you today, where are you in relationship to Christ? Where are you? Are you dry, wandering, thirsty? Have you forsaken your first love? Are you operating in your own strength? Do you have the best of intention and the worst of results? The anointing. The anointing. Are you a prodigal wandering off for a far-off land with a different set of standards and expectations? Have you strayed away long enough to redefine the meaning of your life? Do you only hear his voice behind you because you turned your back on him? Are you running away so the voice will become ever so faint and eventually undetectable? Hey, here's something. When your sin abounds, grace does much more abound. When you run, he pursues you. He wants to take from you the yoke that so weighs you down, restricts you. He wants to break the yoke. Is it time to come home? Isn't it time to come home? If you're here today and you need to come home, tired, weary, broken, frustrated. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to our own way. I got good news for you. He leaves the 99 to come after the one. Is that you today? You need to come home to the Lord, or you need to accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. I invite you to acknowledge that you need Him in your life. You need Him in your heart. You need Him to lead you. You need to follow Him and no longer get ahead of Him. You need this Lord of what I speak, of who I speak. Just lift your hand up so I can see it. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Ma'am, I saw your hand. I just want to pray for you. If you need to receive the Lord, I just want you to think about this. Lord, I don't want to live without you anymore, and I can't anymore, and I can't get ahead of you or run from you, or I want to follow you. Will you forgive me my sin? Will you restore me? Will you anoint me? Will you take residence in my heart and in my soul? I believe you called me here today, and I want to declare your lordship over my life and ask you to forgive me of my sins. Help me to turn from them and to receive the blessings you have for me, the goodness, the gifts, the strength, the insight, the teaching. Have thy way with me. I'm your child. I acknowledge your Lord. Please forgive me. I wish to receive, through your forgiveness, through your blood, eternal life in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Is everyone still? We're gonna start to worship. Something spoke to you. It would be helpful for you to come to the altar. I think acting upon something is important. Come and be still and let someone lay hands on you and pray. Identify and impart to you the anointing of the Spirit of God. Herein lies the difference. As you feel so led, you come to the altar, tarry for a while. Let's worship.